wave connection. Here we go, here we go, here we go. It's the Faith Connection Show, and it's here to help you grow. It's the Faith Connection Show, and it's here to help you grow. Here we go, here we go, here we go. Here we go, here we go, here we go. It's the Faith Connection Show. It's the Faith Connection Show. It's giving you motivation, inspiration, revelation. It's giving you motivation, inspiration, revelation. It's the Faith Connection. Here we go, here we go, here we go.
Here we go, here we go. Here's an inspirational word from Dr. David Miller before the show begins.
You know what? Your time is limited, so don't waste it living somebody else's life.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m. It's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go.
It's the Faith Connection.
Hey, Faith Connection Show would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show.
We're glad to have on the show today Dan McCready, who is the future congressman from the state of North Carolina. And Dan has made quite an impact in the community. He's really tickling some ears and talking about things that people want to hear about. And right now, this is an era in our country where there are a lot of people that have strange itches that need to be scratched. And Dan seems to be that new, fresh blood that this country needs. Dan, it's good to have you on the show today.
It's great to be on with you, Dr. Miller, and have this opportunity to connect with all of your listeners.
Great. Listen, we want to really get down to it and want to talk. Now, you know, a lot of people have probably heard your name, but really don't know that much about you. I've seen the advertisements that talk about your military career, and of course, you're a very successful business person. But for those who don't know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I never planned to run for Congress. If you asked me a couple of years ago and asked my wife, Laura, we would have told you we were perfectly happy spending time with our four little kids and continuing to build my solar energy company here in North Carolina. But this really is a calling that I feel to serve again. The first time I felt that calling was in the years after 9/11, before I joined the Marine Corps. And I feel that again now. In this race, those that know me know I always come back to my platoon because I had the opportunity to lead a platoon of 65 Marines overseas during the surge of 2007 and 2008 in Iraq. And we all, you know, out of my 65 Marines, we came from all over this country, but we really never cared about where you came from or the color of your skin. We never cared about who your parents were. We didn't even care if you're Republican or Democrat. We were all on the same team. But they've forgotten that up in Washington. And they seem to be, maybe people show up with good intentions when they get to Washington, but they seem to all just, it turns into their own re-elections and whatever the special interests say. And they forget about fighting for the people. And I don't think that's right. We've got so many people in North Carolina struggling with healthcare costs, our public schools need strengthening. People concerned about their Social Security and Medicare being there for them. People concerned about the integrity and the dignity in our politics. And all this is why I think we need a fighter in Washington.
Well, I quite agree with you that statement, because we do need a fighter in Washington, and we need people who are going to not forget their grassroots experiences, and that's extremely important. But you know, D.C. and our country as a whole is extremely divided. More divided than it's ever been before in the history of this country, I believe, but at least in my years. And but what is going to be your priority if you are elected, that sort of bring together the various parties that are really right now just sort of yapping in each other's heels rather than getting anything done?
Well, it's a really important question on how to bring people together. And I would start by just acknowledging how bad the situation is. I mean, everyone knows this, but it is. Washington is really broken. Our country is extremely polarized. And at the end of the day, I really chalk our problem up to Republicans and Democrats won't sit down and talk with one another.
And why do you think that is?
It has to do with systemic issues in our political system that include gerrymandering, where politicians draw district lines instead of the other way around. We're subject to that here in North Carolina's 9th District, which includes part of Mecklenburg County, all of Union County, Anson County, and I know you've got listeners there. And it also runs east out to Bladen County, includes part of the Cumberland County, but the Mecklenburg and Cumberland County portions are gerrymandered.
Mm-hmm.
There's also so much money in politics. The Supreme Court had a terrible decision, the Citizens United decision a number of years ago, that allowed dark money to flood our campaigns. They just last week, I think, made one of the worst decisions. It'll go down in history as one of the worst decisions in the history of the court to not stop partisan gerrymandering, which in my view is effectively legalizing cheating. It's been African American households, Native American households, and the elderly that have, you know, suffered from many of these legalized forms of cheating. But the result, when you start mixing those together, the result is a very polarized political environment where there are not that many competitive districts anymore in Congress. Most of them are very red or very blue. And so the politicians you get representing those districts go to the extremes. The primary election tends to be the only election that matters. And so the politicians run far to the right or far to the left. Now, this district is not supposed to be competitive for a Democrat. A Democrat has not held this seat since 1963.
Right.
President Trump won this district by almost 12 points. The fact that we are dead even, the fact that this is going to be such a close race again, reflects what I think is the solution to your question, which is that voters actually are ready to work together. Our message about putting country before political party and working across party lines and fighting for people again, not the same old broken partisan politics, is really resonating, and it's allowed us to be competitive in this race. And I certainly find that, you know, people do not define themselves by their political party. And Republicans, independents, and Democrats are all ready for leadership to work together again. So I think it starts, you know, the change in our country starts with grassroots campaigns like this, where we say, you know what, we're going to throw out the status quo, and we're going to work to represent everyone in this district, because we need more people like that in Washington to improve our system.
And I agree with you. I don't think people buy into party as much as they do into their personal circumstances, because I think people are going through such dramatic changes in this country right now, and I think the polarization that's taking place is creating some real issues for everybody. But, you know, there's another question I'd like to ask, and I know our voters and our voting audience would love to hear perhaps that answer. Tell me, what is the top issue that you're hearing from your voters? And I guess the tail end of the question that I really want to ask, how do you plan to address that?
Well, let me start by talking a little bit about the major battle we had several months ago involving election fraud in this district, and then I would love to share what is the top issue that I'm seeing out on the campaign trail.
Okay.
Every day, which is really healthcare costs.
Sounds good. Okay.
As many of your listeners will be aware, after one of the closest and toughest House races in the entire country last fall, we faced the largest case of election fraud in modern day American history when my opponent's campaign rigged the system, and my prior opponent's campaign rigged the system and stole votes
right.
from African American voters and Native American voters. We really faced a choice at that time. You know, it had been a very long and grueling campaign, and it would have been easy to throw in the towel. But when we saw vote choices being filled in for people, when we saw absentee ballots being stolen from people's doorsteps, and we realized what had occurred, the tragedy that occurred, we made the decision to fight back. And we did everything in our power to find victims of the election fraud, make their stories heard, get their stories into the press and to the State Board of Elections. In the State Board of Elections, after a public hearing and a long investigation and a lot of drama that I'm sure your listeners will remember, made the amazing decision, a unanimous bipartisan vote to hold a new election. And so this election on September 10th, with early voting starting in late August, this election is the people's chance to get justice.
Great, great.
And this is a really historic moment. I'm told by some historians that this is maybe the only, maybe one of just a few federal elections in the history of our republic that is being redone because of election fraud.
Oh.
So it is a chance to, in my view, to fight for the people's most sacred right, which is our right to vote.
Well, it sounds like you're pioneering something in America that most have not faced running for public office. And I applaud you personally for taking the opportunity to right a big wrong. And I think people will forever remember that. And I think all of us need to leave some legacy. And I think that would be quite a legacy for your campaign and your administration to leave. We're going to take a quick break here.
Here's a CGM Entertainment music feature. Gospel and inspirational artist Blanche McAllister Dykes. Enjoy.
With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, my heart's overwhelmed with joy, I will always bless your name. With my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise, my heart's overwhelmed. I can always count.
overwhelmed with joy. I'll always bless your name with my hands lifted up and my mouth filled with praise. My heart's overwhelmed with joy. Lord, I'll always, I promise to always, I'll always bless your sweet name.
The Faith Connection Show has expanded its territory. Every Wednesday from 12 noon to 1 p.m., it's heard on over 104 of the world's largest live broadcast stations, three main social networks, and the biggest podcast stations on the planet. We are worldwide. The Faith Connection Show broadcasts live streams directly to stations physically located in over 36 countries. People tune in from over 207 countries worldwide through the Faith Connection Show live broadcast affiliates. Join us as we connect you to the best talk show in the world. Check us out on SoundCloud, iHeartRadio, YouTube, Google Play. Listen on speaker, Spotify, TuneIn, UKOnlineRadio.com, iTunes, and LA Radio FM. And you can still catch us on Praise 100.9 every Saturday morning at 9:30 a.m. Charlotte's Inspiration Station. The Faith Connection Show, produced by CGM Entertainment. Make sure you download to your phone so you can take Faith Connection Show everywhere you go. Hey, Faith Connection Show, would love to have you to be a part of our show. If you have an amazing story to share with the world that can bless the world by hearing your story and your testimony, we would love to have you on our show. If you feel you are the one the world needs to hear, call right now, 704-897-2582. That's 704-897-2582. Let's share your story with the world. Call 704-897-2582. Also, connect with us on our website at www.connectcenternc.com and make sure you click the Faith Connection button so that you can catch our midweek show from 12 noon to 1 p.m. every Wednesday. We look forward to hearing from you. It's the Faith Connection Show.
Okay, we're back. What is the top issue you're hearing?
Well, the biggest issue on the minds of voters right now is really health care.
Now, how do you...
I don't go a single day on the campaign trail without hearing from someone who is struggling very, very intimately with healthcare costs. I just met someone the other day who is a veteran that served our country, has diabetes, and was having to pay more than $1,000 out of pocket every month just to afford their medication, and just couldn't afford it and had to start skipping doses. People on Medicare are struggling greatly. I met another person with diabetes earlier in the campaign who told me that the cost of her prescription drug went up by 500% in a single year when she got stuck in the donut hole. Many people who are relying on doctor samples to get by or just aren't even able to afford their medication at all.
That's heartbreaking. That is really heartbreaking to hear that kind of...
It's really heartbreaking, and, you know, this campaign is really not about me. I mean, I really appreciate what you said a moment ago, but this is about all of us working for a better future for people who are struggling. And I think it can be hard sometimes to see exactly how God intends to use all of this. But I believe he's using this battle for good. And,
right.
I don't think the solutions when it comes to healthcare costs are actually rocket science. I think we simply need Republicans and Democrats who are willing to sit down and work on common sense reform to lower health care costs. I released a prescription drug plan a couple weeks ago that had 10 points in it.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because I think that's important that we go over the plan that you recently released that talks about lowering prescription drugs and some of the top issues that you suggest that will lower prescription drugs. Let's go through that right quick so that the audience will have a chance to hear that, because I think that's important, because that's one of those big itches that need to be scratched that we're hearing across the country.
Well, appreciate you bringing that up. All of the 10 points in the plan are bipartisan, and they're all really common sense. And there are a few themes in the plan. One is that we have got to take on the big pharmaceutical companies and the middlemen who are profiting unfairly off of American consumers of medication. We realized in our research that Americans are paying more for prescription drugs than really anyone else in the world. And the reason that costs are skyrocketing so much is that Americans are effectively subsidizing the research and development for drugs for the rest of the world. And that's because our country, our government is the only one that really doesn't negotiate drug prices directly with the big pharma companies. Other developed countries negotiate those prices with the big pharma companies and set limits. So a number of the proposals in my plan have to do with lowering the cost of drugs in the United States through things like government being able to negotiate directly with drug companies in Medicare to lower drug prices.
All right.
And addressing this issue of really foreign freeloading that is driving our costs up.
Okay. Now, do you think that once you get to D.C., and I believe that you will get there, what do you think would be your first step in trying to get some bipartisan support for this, for your plan?
I plan to sit down with representatives from both parties and talk about the common sense ideas in this plan. And I really do believe that we can make bipartisan progress on lowering drug prices. As a matter of fact, some good bipartisan progress has been made in D.C. just over the last year. This has gotten largely lost in the press because there is so much division and brokenness in D.C. But the Congress passed the legislation that was signed into law just recently to eliminate gag clauses that prevented pharmacists from being able to tell patients about lower-cost drugs.
Right.
So previously, a pharmacist couldn't even tell you necessarily. You know, you might have to pay $100 out of pocket to get certain medicine that's part of an insurance plan. But if it was maybe available for just $10, you know, cash, a generic drug, pharmacists couldn't always tell you about that. And that's been, you know, we've seen some good steps in the right direction on that front. So I think we need to continue those steps, and we need to be standing up to the big pharma lobbyists that have way too much power in D.C.
Well, you know, I think that's extremely important. And I believe the fact that you come from the grassroots level, you built a business from the grassroots level, and you serve this country as a citizen who cares. I think people going to Washington that have a sort of pure sense of what the problems are is going to help our country turn some things around. And I certainly think that you are running a great campaign, and I think that your ideas are fresh and new, and I believe that they're going to make a great impact. But tell us just a little bit about what the campaign is doing now and where you're headed to and what you need from the community to help push you in the direction you're trying to get to.
Well, thank you for asking that. We're really, this sounds simple, but we're really just trying to talk with as many people as we can. It's really important to me to go everywhere in the district, to talk with people from all communities, from all political parties, and to go places that Democrats don't normally go.
Mm-hmm.
You get east of Charlotte, where communities have really been left behind for decades. And if we're honest, you know, it's been both Republican and Democratic politicians who show up right before election time. They promise the world to voters, but don't actually deliver. And they've really let people down, and they've, a lot of people are disillusioned because of that. So as an example, just over the next week, I think I'm doing 6 meet and greets all through the district in several different counties. And we're inviting people to those by the phone, by text messages. We're promoting them on social media, trying to invite as many people as we can to just join me in a room. So I'll have the opportunity to hear what is on people's minds, what's on their heart, to talk with people about my priorities and why I'm fighting. And I really believe that when you talk with people face-to-face, that is the best way to build a connection. The other side will launch all their millions of dollars, you know, the nasty attacks and lies online and on TV. That always happens. That happened last time. But if you can talk with someone face-to-face, we also have volunteers who, you know, every single week we're launching hundreds of volunteers to go to people's doorsteps, to call them by phone, to share our message. And that's really old-school grassroots campaigning, but that's how we're doing it, both because it's the right thing to do, but I also think it's the most effective way to campaign.
Well, you know, you're right about one thing. The process is simple, but it is most important. I think to hear people and touch people is extremely important. Well, I'm going to call you future Congressman Dan McCready. And it has been great having you on the show. Dan, you're in my prayers, and I'm prayerful that you will have an opportunity to serve this nation. I think you've served it fantastically in the military and also as a private entrepreneur, but I think you'll serve it greatly as a statesman. And I'm really looking forward to the day that I can call you Congressman Dan McCready. Do you have some last words you'd like to give to the audience? And, you know, there are people out there who may hear this message and want to help and want to sort of chime in and volunteer to do some work for you. Can you give us a way for them to contact some of your workers and maybe sign up to be a volunteer?
It's been a lot of fun being on the show and connecting with your listeners in this way. For those that would like to get involved with the campaign, we would love to have you involved. It's my name on the ballot, but this is a team effort, and we're all in this together, and we've got a big battle for justice ahead of us just over the next 55 days or so. And you can simply get involved by going to our website, which is danmccready.com. And from there, you find different ways to get involved, which include coming to volunteer with us, coming to some of our events. And my team can talk with you about joining our team and helping spread our message.
Fantastic. Well, it's been great having you on the show. And we're looking forward to the opportunity to support you in any way we can. Listen, you didn't mention about donations. I know you got to have money to run a campaign. So how do people donate?
Thank you for asking that. Unfortunately, there is way too much money in our political system, and we certainly need to raise the funds so that we can share our message and continue to hire people all through the district. So if you go to my website, danmccready.com, then you can click on donate. And one thing that's important for me is having as many donors as possible, even if it's $5 or $10, everything adds up, and it means a lot to me to have people support in that way. And then on our website, in addition to donating, you can also just click on volunteer, and it will show all the different events that we have coming up across the county, and you can sign up right there.
All right. Fantastic. Well, again, I say to you, it's great having you on the show. Look forward to having you back when you become the congressman for the state of North Carolina.
Well, thank you so much to Dr. Miller, and I'll look forward to hopefully being on with you again soon.
All right, sounds great.
It's the Faith Connection Show.
Here's a CGM Entertainment music feature. Enjoy. The inspirational word from Dr. David Miller before the show begins.
The word today is for somebody who's going through the challenges of dealing with people trying to bring you down, Whoever's trying to bring you down is already below you. So don't look down. Keep climbing. The further you climb, you'll distance yourself from people who are reaching to pull you down.
It's the Faith Connection.
The Faith Connection with Dr. David Miller.
We're here today with Wally Amos, who is the founder of Famous Amos Cookies. And we're really planning to make a great connection today because he has a history, and it's a history that we believe will help somebody who's seeking to do the same thing to make a great connection. Wally, you know, it's just great having you on the show. I think that having you on the show says to me that, you know what, there is somebody out there that you can look up to that has made some accomplishments in life, and they're just as down to earth as possible. And that's one of the things I want to compliment you on, is that your take on life just makes it very comfortable to sit in your presence and simply to learn from your past history. Well, let's begin and talk a little bit about where you're from. I think you're from Florida. Is that correct?
I'm from Tallahassee, Florida. I was born July 1st, 1936. I was 82 years old.
My Lord.
July 1st this year. Yeah. Tallahassee, Florida. I lived there till I was 12 years old, too. I lived there not a long time, but at the age of 12, my mother and father divorced, and I moved to New York City to live with my mother's sister, Della. And that's that card I gave you a business. My new cookie company right away.
And that's one of the things we do want to plug. We want to talk about your new company. The new cookie company that you're starting is Aunt Della's.
Aunt Della's Cookies.
And we're going to talk a little bit about that. First,
there's a backstory behind that, so when you get ready for it and you want to hear it, you let me know, because otherwise people are going to say, well, how did that happen?
I definitely am going to ask you about that. I wanted to begin so we can get a little history on you, because there are a lot of younger listeners out there who may not know a whole lot. They've been eating Famous Amos cookies, but didn't even know where it came from, and that an African-American started the company. And I think it's important to talk a little bit about that. Now, you were in Los Angeles, I think, when you started.
I was living in L.A., I'd moved to L.A. I'd been working with the William Morris Agency, a theatrical agency. I was the first African-American that worked there. And I left because they wouldn't promote me. And I thought there was something else to do somewhere else. And so I became a personal manager, and I started living. I was talking to somebody earlier, but I haven't thought about that time in my life in a really long time, because I moved to L.A. with two kids, even two boys. And all the stuff that they've gone through, that I've gone through with them, that they've gone through with me, that they've gone through in their own life. I mean, it's just, they don't change, man. There's a song that is so prophetic. It's just, everything must change. Not will, must. You can't stop it. I love it.
Well, you know, when you were working in New York booking acts, you booked some very famous people, too, did you not?
I did.
Give me a few of the names.
I was the first Asian to book Marvin Gaye, to book the Supremes. I booked the Supremes on the very, very first tour. I booked Sam Cooke. I booked a lot of the rock and roll. I was the first Asian to book Simon and Garfunkel. They were recorded by a guy named Tom Wilson, who was this African-American A&R recorder, and was a Harvard graduate, and he was tall, he almost bent over. but he was so proud. He was a guy who wouldn't take any crap from anybody. I remember one night we lived in New York, and so we were on 6th Avenue by Stage Delicatessen trying to get a cab. We wanted to go up to Harlem. I think we were going up to the Apollo that night, and the cops wouldn't stop, and Tom was a proud guy. He was brilliant. He was the agent that first recorded Simon and Garfunkel.
My goodness.
And a lot of jazz acts, you know what I mean? So he didn't take no stuff from me. He was lanky, tall, lanky guy. And cars wouldn't pass him. He cursed him out. He's a proud guy, good guy, good friend.
Well, let's talk a little bit bit about Famous Amos. You started it in Los Angeles, and what gave you the motivation to start the Famous Amos Cookies?
I was managing a young lady named Shari Summers. Mm-hmm. She was an actress that was represented by the William Morris Agency, and I had been an agent at William Morris. Mm-hmm. And later, when I was no longer an agent, I was a manager, mm-hmm. and I managed to manage Shari Summers. Mm-hmm. And so we had a meeting one day, and we had a wonderful meeting, and then we were talking afterwards, and she broke out a bag of chocolate chip cookies. And she took this bag of cookies, little handmade cookies, you know? Mm-hmm. And she just took them. And I hadn't had any chocolate chip cookies since my Aunt Della had first made them for me. Because mm-hmm. when I was 12 years old, I moved from Tallahassee, Florida to New York City.
Right.
My mother and father got divorced. I was sent to the North mm-hmm. to live with Aunt Della and Uncle Fred and their son, Joe. And the three people already in a three-room apartment, and Joe and I was sleeping in the living room. Joe was sleeping in the living room, so I had to sleep with Joe. And where do you think I slept? I slept in the living room. Anyway, so, but I got to tell you, that move was pivotal to my life.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was Aunt Della that first made chocolate chip cookies for me.
Mm-hmm.
And here's Shari Summers. We'd had our meeting, and we finished the meeting, and we were reviewing and talking about stuff. And she took a bag out filled with chocolate chip cookies. Man, I got so crazy and so excited because Aunt Della's cookies just tasted so great. I said, "Where'd you get these cookies?" I mean, I just, you know, lost control of myself.
Mm-hmm.
And she said, "I baked them, you know." And she shared chocolate chip cookies. And that, as soon as our meeting was over, I went to Ralph's Supermarket. It's a major supermarket in L.A. And I went over to the supermarket and got me some chocolate chip cookies. And that started it. I mean, I went around the store and got all the other stuff because everything was on the back of the ingredient package.
Mm-hmm.
And I got all the other stuff that I needed and went home. And I was, you know, it was like it had a spell on me.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, literally. But, you know, it was one of those moments, man, mm-hmm. where you're so excited about something that you have done and you want to experience it again because it tasted really good.
My goodness.
And I started giving them away. Because mm-hmm. I'd go to meetings, and I've always knew I was different. We're all different.
Mm-hmm.
But I've always attempted to express my individuality.
Right.
I want to be like somebody. I'm Wally, period, you know. And so I just started going to meetings, and that's when I could. It reached a point people would see me, and their first question, I swear to you, hey, Wally, where are my cookies, man? I mean, not Wally, do you have any cookies today? You know, no, where are my cookies? As if all I got to do is make chocolate chip cookies for them.
Mm-hmm.
And I kept giving them away. So life really gives you some incredible lessons. And everybody wants to get the money first. They don't want to work.
Mm-hmm.
They want to be paid, and then they'll do the work, you know.
Right.
But because I gave away cookies for so long and people loved them,
mm-hmm.
and unconsciously, I was building a customer base.
Fantastic.
And I was learning how to make cookies, too, and learning how to promote. But I kind of knew how to promote because I've been promoting people for mm-hmm. a long time.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, that was it.
Yeah, so you started out giving cookies away and ended
Absolutely.
Up selling cookies.
And ended up selling cookies.
My gracious.
Yeah.
That's quite a quantum leap from where you were in Hollywood booking.
Everything's a leap.
Yeah.
All of life's a leap, so what? Just take it. Take it.
Now, you know, you spent 4 years in the Air Force.
Yes, I did.
And I think all of this happened after you got out of the Air Force.
Right.
Well, you know.
Many years.
When did you move to Hawaii? Because I know you lived there for 40 years.
I moved to Hawaii. I think I moved to Hawaii in 77.
Mm-hmm.
You know, some of my memory no longer lives with me. So,
that's the problem with a whole lot of us now.
No question. But I lived there till I didn't live there anymore. And I moved from Hawaii February 16th this year.
Right.
I lived in Hawaii for 40 years. The reason I actually moved to Hawaii, everything is connected, you know. Everything leads to something else.
Right.
And so I was, I went to Hawaii to sell Famous Amos cookies at a local department store called McInerney's.
Mm-hmm.
And that went really well. And I went with a lady that would ultimately become my wife, Christine. Christine Harris Amos was my wife.
Wally, we're going to take a break here and make a soul connection. And I think this song really depicts the story of your life. It's by Jonathan McReynolds. I am not lucky, I am loved.
Maybe I succeeded a little. I jumped up from the floor to the middle. You think I want the credit? I don't. 'Cause the glory ain't made for me, no. But I know who sits on the throne, who makes the stage and writes the songs. And I know I couldn't do this on my own. And as much as I complain, I've seen more sunshine than rain. And I could thank my lucky stars, but that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm lucky. I fall to my knees and I say that I'm grateful when every morning starts. So I don't thank my lucky stars, 'cause that's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved. That's not where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chance. But truth is, I'm not lucky in love.
Jesus.
where my blessings are. No, they come from the Father's heart, not the sky, not chains. But truth is, I'm not lucky, I'm loved.
We're back with Wally Amos, the founder of Famous Amos Cookies. Now, Wally, you were saying you just moved to Hawaii.
I love Hawaii. I love the people. And I feel that Hawaii is really where I belong. But more and more, I'm feeling that I belong in Fort Mill, South Carolina. No, I love this area.
You know, in meeting you, and even before the show, you're so candid about everything. And I remember when asking you to come on the show, the first thing you told me was, you know, I don't need a script. Just ask me what you want to ask me because I'm going to tell you the truth.
I'm not going to talk about somebody else's life. So I know me better than anybody else. And so there are no secrets.
Well, that is fantastic. Let me tell you, this is something I really think the listeners can learn from because, you know, life is full of joys and sorrows and mistakes and everything else.
Can I say something? Because I'll forget.
Yes, sir. Help yourself.
Oh, memory. The word mistake. Write it down. You got your pencil there. Put mistake.
Mistake. Okay.
It's mistake. MISTAKE.
Mm-hmm.
Mistake. It doesn't say you failed.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't say you did something that was wrong.
Mm-hmm.
In show business, and I learned this in show business just by being observant. I went to a lot of recording sessions. I went to movie sessions. I saw a lot of mistakes.
My goodness.
That's all it is. It wasn't an error. It wasn't a sin. It was just a MISTAKE. Mm-hmm. They do those all the time in show business, man. You know what I'm saying? Okay, that's the take. And they, you do that throughout your life. The idea is to learn from your mistakes. It wasn't wrong.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't a sin.
Mm-hmm.
It was just a mistake.
Mm-hmm.
It's like a baseball player swinging his bat, missed the ball.
Right.
You know, but we create these disasters in our lives, and you learn. That's how we learn. You can't learn anything if you don't do something.
You know, talking to you even before the show, I mean, I learned so much every time I...
I'm sending you a bill, you know.
Well, I'd be glad to pay that bill. I really would.
Okay, nobody ever said that before.
Yeah, I would be glad to pay that bill.
Your daughter will stop you.
But, you know, the thing is a lot of people think that you sold Famous Amos for a lot of money.
I didn't sell it for any money at all.
And that's what I found out. I found out that you sort of... got in with some venture capital people.
But you know what? I can't be blaming somebody else for my errors and for my mistakes. I didn't know. I was never a good businessman.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't always pay attention. Oftentimes, I was looking at the girls. But we all, I made a lot of mistakes, man. Mm-hmm. Made a lot of errors. I made a lot of things that didn't have. But if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. And a lot of things that I did, I didn't learn from.
Mm-hmm.
So I kept repeating them. I had a lot of scars,
mm-hmm.
a lot of bruises from doing stupid things over and over and over again. But I finally learned. And I, you know, and after a while, too, I mean, I thought I was big deal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I worked... only African-American guy at the William Morris Agency when I started. And I mean, I did some decent things, but so what? There are people that did more decent things than I did.
Mm-hmm.
And you're not what you do. It's how you relate to, it's how you serve others.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. The thing is, the older I got, the more I realized, it wasn't how much money I had, it wasn't where I lived, it wasn't any of that. It's how many people did I help?
My goodness.
What did I help? And, you know, I get choked up about it, really, because mm-hmm. there's so many people that have helped me.
Mm-hmm.
I would not be here today if there weren't so many people that helped me. The only reason I believe we live, the reason for breathing, we are here to serve one another. And I know that, man. I've learned that so deep because I've been up, I've been down, I've been around a corner, I've been back. And I've never felt freer than I feel now because I don't have anything. Mm-hmm. And I've had a lot. Mm-hmm. But so what? Because what you have, you're not your stuff. Mm-hmm. You're not your clothes. You're not any material thing at all. If you don't serve somebody else, your life has no meaning.
My God. You know, when we were talking earlier, you said something to me that really struck me. He said, well, you know, so what? I don't own Famous Amos anymore, but what difference does that make? Could you expound a little bit upon that?
Well, it's pretty basic. You don't own anything. You, because we all die and leave everything here.
My goodness.
I don't care what it is, but you're not your stuff. Your stuff won't save you, but someone that you saved might save you. So I just think it's really for me, and this is my life, and I live it the way I choose. But I live it so that it gives something back to the world, because it has to be a sad human being who comes to the end of the journey, and you can't put anything in that coffin. Might not even have a coffin. Ain't nobody there to tell you goodbye or help you or kiss you or hug you. But when you make a lot of friends and when you serve other people, when you give to other people expecting nothing in return, then everybody comes to help you, man.
My goodness.
That's the bottom line. None of this. You can't put your car in your coffin. Oh, you got your own airplane. Wow, you can't even fly, can you? You can't put it in your coffin. I mean, but being kind to other people, helping other people, not thinking you're such a big shot.
My goodness.
I'm talking firsthand stuff here.
Firsthand stuff.
Oh, absolutely. And I have lived this life for 82 years. July 1st, I was 82 years.
Well, you know, and not only have you been an entrepreneur, but you've written 9 books, too.
Yeah.
My God. Give me some of the titles of the books you've written.
Man with No Name, The Power in You. One of my very early books. And I wrote a book called Watermelon Magic. Watermelon. You know
what? Oh, yeah, I know what a watermelon is.
Watermelon is.
I know exactly what it is.
This is a neat little book. I mean, I used to wear a watermelon hat.
Well, that's good. I mean, you know, because I wanted listeners to basically hear some of the books that you've written, because, you know, people...
Go online. Everything is online. Every book that I've ever written is somewhere online. Just look up books by Wally Amos and I
certainly plan to do that. Yeah. But now, the reason I want it, because, you know, everybody knows you by your cookies, but nobody really knows that other side. And I think 9 books is quite an accomplishment.
Oh, everything is in there, because I always tell the truth.
I believe that. Well, you know, talk to me just a little bit about the new venture, Aunt Della's cookies. When are you planning to launch this new?
As soon as I can. Mm-hmm. I made great strides this week so far. Today's only Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
But I've been working on this for a little while.
Well, you know, at your age, what made you decide to launch another brand, Aunt Della's Cookies?
That's what I do.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I've lost cookie companies. I started new ones. And I love chocolate chip cookies. I mean, but also, with this company, I named it Aunt Della's Cookies.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason I got in the cookie business was because of Aunt Della.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you. Now, you say you're very close to launching the new cookie company.
Yeah, yeah.
And
by the first of the year, I'll be selling. But before the first of the year, mm-hmm. I will be selling cookies. And we're gonna start probably in Fort Mill. I may start in Columbia.
Thank you. We've enjoyed our session today with Wally Amos, and it has been a unique one. I think that our listeners, I know I have been uniquely blessed by your wisdom and certainly by your philosophies of life. And
it's the truth, too.
I believe it.
It works if you work it.
I believe you.
It works if you work it.
I just want to thank you for being on the show and for honoring us just you know, with your wisdom. And we hope that we'll be able to cross paths again.
We will.
And I'm looking forward to that.
Thank you.
Thank you so much.
I thank you for asking me. And I give thanks for your daughter. Your daughter's a special lady, man. You and your wife must really...
We're very proud of her.
Yeah, she's a executive at the bank. That I do business with, yeah.
Mechanics and Farms.
Yeah. It hasn't really gotten to be a part of my life yet, but it is a part of my life. It absolutely, and because of your daughter, Mechanics and Pharma, I mean, I thought I was going to leave Charlotte to go someplace else, and I was the only sad part. I was so sad about it. I'd have to leave Mechanics and Pharma. Lucky, I didn't have to leave Charlotte. I didn't leave South Carolina, which is where I live, but I spent a lot of my time in Charlotte. It's about 15, 20 minutes max from my door to Charlotte. And Charlotte is all over this place, and everything is all over it. I love this area. I really, people are nice, and it feels good. Yeah.
Well, my daughter says that people love you, too. And so we thank God for you. All right. Our parting words today is for someone out there who is fighting a tough fight. Remember that every champion was once a contender that refused to give up. Keep on swinging.
It's the Faith Connection Show, and it's here to help you grow. It's the Faith Connection Show, and it's here to help you grow. It's the Faith Connection Show, and it's here to help you grow. Here we go. It's the Faith Connection Show. It's the Faith Connection Show. It's giving you motivation, inspiration, revelation. It's giving you motivation, inspiration, revelation. It's the Faith Connection. Here we go. It's giving you motivation, inspiration.